Yesterday, we read about the circumcision controversy. Today's first reading continues that passage from Acts chapter 15, where the community in Jerusalem, or especially the apostles and leaders, are debating the issue. And it starts out, after much debate had taken place, Peter got up. So much debate had taken place. We spoke about this yesterday, but I think it's good to go back to it because there's a lot to learn here, not about circumcision, and that's a settled issue. In fact, St. Paul, in his letter to the Galatians, I think, says circumcision doesn't mean anything at all. It doesn't make any difference at all. So already by the time of St. Paul's writing, that issue was completely settled. But we can learn about how disputes are settled and how the church is to go forward. Of course, there are always going to be disagreements. That's part of the human experience. Some things are simply matters of prudential judgment, and communities have to decide what to do. And this is politics all over the place. How much to allot to this or that project? Who gets this or that position of authority? Who owns this or that property? Where's the boundary line? Where's the budget? All these things. That's not divine law. Those things have to be decided among us. And the democratic process is a fairly good way to do it because people have a say, and hopefully everybody will agree. Even if you don't get your way, you say, well, okay, we didn't allot as much as I wanted to for the project, but I'll accept. Otherwise, the community will always be divided. But when it comes to essential things, that's what this is here. This issue is a question of salvation or not salvation. It's not just a matter of a budget. When it comes to essential things, there has to be a clear, definitive answer. And everyone who wants to be part of the community has to accept that answer. Otherwise, there will be a division, because on an essential issue, if one group thinks this is essential and one group says it's not essential, there's no way to unite the community. You see this dynamic happening in the mainline Protestant communities nowadays over the issue of same-sex marriage. I don't know if you watched this development, but it's quite clear that the mainline Protestant communities are very sharply divided over this issue, whether same-sex unions can be considered marriages or not. Now, they don't have sacramental systems for the most part, but those who do consider marriage a sacrament, some are saying that same-sex couples should get the sacrament, and some say they shouldn't. Well, it can't be both ways. It has to be one or the other. And what happens is some camp will take this side and some camp will take that side, and then the community divides. In the Catholic Church, there's no doubt that there's no such thing as same-sex marriage. That was clear. It's always been clear. And Pope Francis has stated it as strongly as possible. In no way can same-sex unions or relationships be considered an equivalent of marriage. In no way. So Pope Francis, who's considered by the media as the gay, pro-gay pope, no. He's not going with that social movement at all. Made it very, very clear. Anyway, I'm just using that as an example. You can't have a compromise. It's either one way or another. Well, that's what we have here. Now, in disputes, the question on essential matters is, well, how do you know the right answer? There are a lot of wrong approaches. Probably one of the worst is, I'm right and you're wrong. In other words, making myself the criterion. And this happens in a surprisingly large number of ways. People just think that their position is right, just because that's what they think. Well, that's a very, very weak foundation. And there's no way to resolve it, because on what basis is that person right, or on what basis am I right? So that one is set aside. Now, another popular one nowadays, probably more than ever, is the idea, people follow the idea of some leader, politician, expert, someone with a big Twitter account or something like that, and so-and-so says, well, this is the position, and everybody who follows that person agrees, okay, this is my position. That's the viral position. Well, that's not a very good criterion either. In fact, it's a very, very weak foundation. What if that person's wrong, even though he has 1 million or 2 million or 1 billion followers? That doesn't mean he's right, or he or she is right. Then there is the very popular idea that majority should rule. So if the majority thinks that something is right, then must be right. That's not reliable either, because majorities can be wrong. And on essential questions of doctrine or of morals, they can't be decided by popular vote. Because if the opinion of the majority changes, well, then that doctrine would have to change. That means you don't have a grasp of truth at all. Okay, so these are all wrong ways to go. A lot of people put themselves in one camp or another, political party or another, or typical division is the conservatives and the liberals. Conservatives and liberals. So people will say, well, if I'm liberal, and that's the liberal position, that's my position. If I'm conservative, that's the conservative position, that's my position. That's no good either, because what's the truth is the question. In this case, with the circumcision controversy, the conservatives were the ones in favor of or insisting on the necessity of circumcision. Those were the conservatives. The liberals were the ones who said, no, you don't have to follow that rule anymore. In this case, if you want to use those terms, the liberals won. But it's not a good basis. When it comes to essential matters, first of all, what's the will of God? That's the question. What is God's position on this? Another way to say the same thing is, what is the loving response? Because God is love, and his position is always one of love for his people. What's God's will? What is the loving response? Another way to say the same thing is, what's the truth? Now, it sounds like three different things to us: the will of God, love, and truth, but it's all exactly the same. God, he's God, he is love, he is truth. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit, he is God, he's the Spirit of truth, he's the Spirit of love. So the idea here is, let's find out what is God's will here. And that's exactly what the church does in this controversy over circumcision. Even though they had much debate, Peter could have stood up at the very beginning. He's the highest authority in the church, designated by Jesus himself as the leader. He could have said, let's not debate this. This is the right answer. He didn't do that. He listened and let everybody bring their position forth. And that's necessary, because in the process of discernment, it's not clear at the beginning. So you have to be patient and listen and give people of goodwill an opportunity to express themselves. And that's what they did. And then Peter says, okay, I understand these positions and why you're saying these things. Peter himself, remember, was a very conservative Jew. He was very strict with himself about the rules. Remember that vision that he had of all the unclean animals? That's earlier in the Acts of the Apostles. He has this vision of all these unclean animals, and then the voice from heaven says, slaughter and eat. And Peter says, no way, I never ate anything unclean. He's very, very conservative in that way. And then the voice from heaven says, what God declares clean, you shouldn't declare unclean. So had to shake him up a little bit. And that was at the time when Peter recognized God was saying, the Gentiles are not unclean. The Gentiles are not, by definition, excluded from the love of God, or the self-saving mission of Jesus Christ. They're not excluded, they're included. And that's what he alludes to here in this reading. He says, my brothers, you are well aware that from early days, God made his choice among you, God's choice, that through my mouth, the Gentiles would hear the word of the gospel and believe. So God did that. It took Peter by surprise. In fact, it took all the early Christian by surprise, that God loved the Gentiles too. That wasn't a Jewish idea, but it was God's idea, and he revealed it. And then God, who knows the heart, bore witness by granting them, meaning the Gentiles, granting them the Holy Spirit just as he did us. He made no distinction between us and them. So this us and them mentality is not God's way of seeing it. Us and them. God's idea is that the way to salvation is faith in Jesus Christ. Faith in Jesus Christ. And if someone is a Jew, well, then they inherit their Jewish heritage and practice. That wasn't a necessity, but that's how they have it. And the Gentiles who don't have that background, well, they don't have that. That's not no longer the criteria. Now, notice in this reading that in the first part of the reading, it's Peter speaking, and he's speaking on the basis of what God has already revealed. What we would say, this is an argument from tradition. This is already something that is in practice. And then James gets up and quotes from the scriptures. Scripture and tradition. Scripture and tradition are the channels of divine revelation. Now, it's not always clear to us what the tradition is handing on to us. It's not always clear to us what the scriptures mean. But the church is the guardian of divine revelation. The magisterium is the guardian of divine revelation and hands on the fullness of revelations, tradition, scripture, and tradition. And here's an example of it. So Peter uses his approach. James uses his approach. They come up with the same answer. Let's do what God wants. It's the most loving response. It's the truest response. It's God's response. The will of God, the loving thing to do, and the truth. Now, I mention this truth and love thing because very often the conservatives get labeled as the ones who are the guardians of the truth, and the liberals are the ones who are the proclaimers of love. As if those two can be divided. As if you can have truth without love or love without truth. Well, I suppose you can in a certain way, but you cannot have fullness of truth without love. And you cannot have genuine love without truth. You can't. So the idea in modern language now that love is love and that all you have to do is proclaim your love and that is the final say, so that if you love, if you have an attraction to anybody or anything, that settles the argument about whether it's morally correct or not. No. No. Because your definition of love is too small. Or it might not even be love at all. It might just be an emotion, or it might just be a vice. I don't know. A sinful passion could be described as love by someone. So that's why we need love and truth, guided by the Holy Spirit, who is the Spirit of love, the Spirit of truth. And the Holy Spirit will guide us into all truth. We see this happening throughout the course of the church's history. The Holy Spirit keeps guiding us in all our ignorance and in all our divisions and in all our stupidity, keeps guiding us in the way of love and truth. And it's happening now. So we have to let go of our personal conviction that we are right. We have to submit ourselves to what God says, what God reveals. That's the only way to have unity. It's the only way to have freedom. It's the only way to have joy. This is today's gospel. Remain in my love. As the Father loves me, I love you. Remain in my love. What unites us is love, because that's God. God is a communion of love. The way to remain in the communion of love is to follow the commandments. In other words, to submit our will to the will of God, to put ourselves under the reign, the authority, the truth of God. And the fruit of this is joy. I have told you this so that my joy might be in you and your joy might be complete. Joy does not come from winning the argument or from getting our position to dominate over other people's position. Joy comes from union with God, from love of God and love of neighbor. It comes from being under the guidance and protection of the Holy Spirit. That's joy. And it lasts. It's complete. So, yes, we're still going to have disputes. We're still going to have controversies, divisions. But in the midst of all this, the rock bottom, the solid foundation is God. And He reveals Himself in truth and love. He guides us in the way of joy.